The Confessions of Arsène Lupin by Maurice Leblanc. Narrated by Paul Sperra. Chapter 5. The Red Silk Scarf. On leaving his house one morning at his usual early hour for going to the law courts, Chief Inspector Ganimard noticed the curious behavior of an individual who was walking along the Rue Pergolèse in front of him. Shabbily dressed and wearing a straw hat, though the day was the 1st of December, the man stooped at every 30 or 40 yards to fasten his bootlace or pick up his stick or for some other reason. And each time he took a little piece of orange peel from his pocket and laid it stealthily on the curb of the pavement. It was probably a mere display of eccentricity, a childish amusement to which no one else would have paid attention, but Ganimard was one of those shrewd observers who are indifferent to nothing that strikes their eyes and who are never satisfied until they know the secret cause of things. He therefore began to follow the man. Now, at the moment when the fellow was turning to the right into the Avenue de la Grande Armée, the inspector caught him exchanging signals with a boy of 12 or 13 who was walking along the houses on the left-hand side. 20 yards further, the man stooped and turned up the bottom of his trouser leg. A bit of orange peel marked the place. At the same moment, the boy stopped and, with a piece of chalk, drew a white cross surrounded by a circle on the wall of the house next to him. The two continued on their way. A minute later, a fresh halt. The strange individual picked up a pin and dropped a piece of orange peel, and the boy at once made a second cross on the wall and again drew a white circle around it. "By Jove," thought the chief inspector with a grunt of satisfaction, "this is rather promising. What on earth can those two merchants be plotting?" The two merchants went down the Avenue Friedland and the Rue du Faubourg Saint-Honoré, but nothing occurred that was worthy of special mention. The double performance was repeated at almost regular intervals and, so to speak, mechanically. Nevertheless, it was obvious, on the one hand, that the man with the orange peel did not do his part of the business until after he had picked out with a glance the house that was to be marked, and, on the other hand, that the boy did not mark that particular house until after he had observed his companion's signal. It was certain, therefore, that there was an agreement between the two, and the proceedings presented no small interest in the chief inspector's eyes. At the Place Beauvau, the man hesitated. Then, apparently making up his mind, he twice turned up and twice turned down the bottom of his trouser leg. Hereupon, the boy sat down on the curb, opposite the sentry who was mounting guard outside the Ministry of the Interior, and marked the flagstone with two little crosses contained within two circles. The same ceremony was gone through a little further on when they reached the Élysée. Only on the pavement where the president's sentry was marching up and down, there were three signs instead of two. "Hang it all," muttered Ganimard, pale with excitement and thinking, in spite of himself, of his inveterate enemy, Lupin, whose name came to his mind whenever a mysterious circumstance presented itself. "Hang it all, what does it mean?" He thought of collaring and questioning the two merchants, but he was too clever to commit so gross a blunder. The man with the orange peel had now lit a cigarette, and the boy, also placing a cigarette end between his lips, had gone up to him, apparently, with the object of asking for a light. They exchanged a few words. Quick as thought, the boy handed his companion an object which looked, at least so the inspector believed, like a revolver. They both bent over this object, and the man, standing with his face to the wall, put his hand six times in his pocket and made a movement.